This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Hello and welcome to the Leadership Forum right here at Hope FM, Hope TV, and on our social media platforms. Hope you're keeping well and happy new week to you. I hope the week is taking you so well and you're grateful to God to be alive, to be well. And if you're joining us for the first time, the Leadership Forum is a platform where we discuss all matters, leaders and followers. And it's a time to learn together. We began a series titled Seasons of Leadership. We have done already two sessions. If you've missed them, please rush to our podcast and our social media platforms at Hope FM Live, at Hope TV Kenya. And our website is www.hopemediakenya.org/podcast and enjoy the previous sessions you've done. But today, please join us for this one. To take us through our session today, our dear Bishop Dr. David Oginde joining us every alternate Monday. How are you doing, Bishop?
Very well, thank you. Very well. I'm good. Yeah, by God's grace.
Amen.
Yes.
What has God put in your heart in relation to last week, where it was even hard for me to view on screen as parents were receiving the bodies of their dear children? It was just so painful. Mm. What did you love to speak to the parents and loved ones, and also to their seven young girls being held in custody still, allegedly for committing this crime? Would you speak to those two?
Well, you have already sent condolences, and let me associate myself with the same, because it's a very painful thing when a parent loses a child, especially at that level. And so it's really painful for the parents, and we can only pray for God's grace to be upon them as they come to terms with that reality that has befallen them, and the other parents whose children are also injured and are still nursing wounds, those people whose children have also been taken into custody. You do not want to be associated with a child who has done evil. It's both an embarrassing thing, but also a very painful thing, because we always want our children to do well. So when we find children getting into the place where these ones have got, it's a very difficult thing. I know that many of the people who have spoken this far have blamed parents squarely on what has happened and what is happening, not just in that school, but in other schools where we have had this kind of misbehavior. But I would extend it beyond parents.
Yeah.
Because parents, yes, we are responsible for the foundational grounding of our children. But children throughout the ages, and particularly in the African culture, have been parented by society. A parent alone is not able to get children to where they ought to be. Society sets the pace, sets the tone. As we were growing up, every adult person was our parent, whether it was in the neighborhood, in the marketplace, in school, any place. If an adult saw a child doing anything that was not right, they reprimanded them. They took charge of that situation and if possible, reported them to their parents, because the parent cannot be there out in wherever the children are. So that collective parenting is something that society has lost. We have protected our children from others, rightfully so sometimes. But also what I would want to say is unfortunate is the fact that role modeling by adults is really, really going down.
Mm.
When you hear how our leaders talk, behave, conduct themselves, teachers, when they are going on strike, their language, their conduct, how do you expect that a child will then do better? If a teacher is burning tires on the streets, rolling on the floor, on the ground, and because they want their salaries increased or something, whatever it is, you have lost that moral authority to be an example to the children that you teach. Because if you as an adult can do those kinds of things, it means that a younger person who may not have the maturity of mind like you have could do similar, but take it to the different levels, which I think is what is happening. So while as adults we may not burn buildings, but when we are rolling on the streets, when we are calling people names and all those kinds of things, you are setting a wrong example to the younger people. And so these people then take it, and they take it to the next level because of the level of maturity they are at. So yes, we can blame parents, but I think for me, the greater blame is on us as a society. Yeah. It is on us as a community. It is on us particularly as leaders. What example are we setting for our children, for our younger generation?
Mm-hmm.
That is something that should concern us as a nation.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you've said that about role modeling, which is very critical. And the other day, a number of people that these young people look up to, they call themselves influencers or celebs, Bishop, you know them. Eh?
Mm.
they do bad manners. And when a number of few people from the society raise up and say, you shouldn't do that. You know, you're a role model to our children. Their feedback has always been, excuse me, I'm not a role model to your child. Deal with your child.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, those same people who are saying that have or are going to have children. And then they will realize, I hope, that their children are not just their children. Their children are being modeled by so many other people outside of your own jurisdiction. Your child is in social media, being modeled by the social media, by those celebs who you are talking about. They are being role modeled by other people. So we must take collective responsibility in everything that we do. Societies that have been progressive, societies that have had discipline, that discipline comes right from the top down to the very bottom. And it is something that is practiced across the board. Because when we do certain things, there's an adage that we say, values are caught, not taught. You can talk about values and say how people should conduct themselves, how children should behave, and so on. But if you are doing the very opposite, they will follow what you are doing, not what you say they should do.
True.
So whether you are a teacher, an influencer, a leader, whoever you are, a parent, you must model the example for the children of what you would want them to be. And so we must collectively take responsibility on creating a society, an environment within which children look up to us as their role models and for good things,
yeah,
not bad things.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. You look at the drama,
mm,
festivals.
Yes.
And it tells you what children are thinking about our society.
Very true.
Yeah. Mm. They you see it there on stage. And sometimes we have had to go in and stop those dramas while we continue with the same drama on the public arena, on the public's platform.
That's sad.
So you don't want it in the
play?
In the play. But you go and demonstrate it.
And when they play, they act it so well. And you feel so bad. You feel they have caught it so well and they have added some mchuzi mix to it.
Of course, in drama you have to add spices.
Yes.
But it is the reality.
True.
It is the reality. So if we are so embarrassed about it that we would not want it to be dramatized by the children, then let's not do it ourselves.
Yeah.
That's it's as simple as that.
So help us, God.
Amen.
Amen. Before we talk about summer, which is a season, we began summer. We talked about spring. I don't know what's happening to me today, Bishop. Maybe it's the blue, but it's okay.
You're feeling blue.
We shouldn't twin. Let me take it up again.
It happens.
We talked about spring. That was the first one we talked about, the season one, and summer is the second season we talked about. But there are a number of people who reached out to us with very critical questions.
Yes.
We were not able to handle them. Allow us to quickly handle them, then we pick it up from where we stopped. Is that okay, Bishop?
Right.
Excellent. So we begin with this one who says, Bishop and Grace, can people in summer season, especially those who haven't experienced it before, gather aggressively to a point of looting?
I'm not sure what.
people who are in summer season for the first time, can they gather aggressively to a point of looting?
You know, the gather there is what I'm not getting. Is it that these people meet together?
No, they accumulate. You know, summer it was, you have harvest, and then you also need to be careful and save. Be very strategic. Harvest a lot to a point of looting?
How can you harvest to the point of looting? Think of it not just metaphorically. Mm. Let's think of it practically. So you go out to harvest from your shamba.
Yes.
From your farm.
Mm.
Now, the farm, your farm neighbors another farm of your neighbor. So you harvest yours and you go ahead and harvest your neighbors. What do you call that?
Thieving.
Yeah. There's nothing else. And if your neighbor found you, or let's put it the other way. You know, always we think of the other person.
Yes.
For me, I always prefer to think of it from me.
Yes.
You know, the other day we were talking with someone about software, you know, and how we use software.
Yes.
And they were saying, you know, me, I don't buy software. I just use. You know? So I said, think of it this way.
Yes.
Suppose you have published a book.
Mm.
And you put it out there for people to buy. And then you hear somebody say, yeah, I can't buy a book. I just photocopy. Like the other day, I just photocopied so-and-so's book.
Mm.
And they're talking about your book. How would you feel?
Very bad.
Why are you feeling bad? And do you normally photocopy other people's
books? Yes, it's stealing my work, which you're supposed to buy.
Or another person saying, yes. Yeah, don't buy.
Mm.
I just read from others who have bought.
I borrow. To read and return.
Read and return. So imagine one book is borrowed by six people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are six people who would have bought your book.
Yes.
But now I keep lending them, you know. So you copy this software and give to another person and give to another person. And you don't feel it is bad.
Mm.
So this person who is harvesting from another person's shamba, suppose now it is the other way around. You find that your neighbor is harvesting in your shamba. how would you feel? Would you say, great, yeah, I could see yours were not enough. You could take a few more from my shamba.
Mm.
That's how we should think.
Yeah.
So nobody should harvest beyond their boundaries.
Yes.
No matter how, what kind of bumper harvest the other person has got. You know, your neighbor's farm can produce much better than yours.
Yes.
So you can say, but he has so much.
Let me help them.
Let me help them.
Okay.
No.
Mm.
So looting is theft.
Mm.
And you cannot excuse it in any other way.
Yes.
If you are stealing from, say, government, where people say, in Mali ya umma, think of your workers stealing from you. How would you feel? Yes.
Okay. In the scenario of leadership, I mean, these leaders just come from spring, where they really struggled, set everything. Everything now is in order. Now they're enjoying the fruits. If scenario is that way, can they say, "Ay, wacha tukule, tumeteseka the last 6 years, now it's time to enjoy"? What if that's the perspective this listener has?
That's different. Because looting, you cannot loot your own thing. You cannot loot your own resources. So looting is always something to do with other person's resources.
Mm.
That's why I took that angle. So you cannot loot your own resources. You can waste it. You can misuse it. You can squander it, which I think from the example you are giving is squandering.
Mm.
So you have this harvest, and now you feel you have really suffered for a long time. You want to enjoy as much as possible. And you eat the whole thing. I don't know whether I gave the example of seed here.
I can't remember.
You don't remember.
Mm.
An example that sticks in my mind is many years ago when I was still a young boy.
Mm.
Is that my father has this big, not huge, big in our context, farm of maize. And both maize and millet, that's what we used to grow that time. When we went for harvest, before we started harvesting, he would go around the farm. And I would see him pick cobs of maize from the different parts. He would go pick this, and would have a basket, throw it in there, go pick that, randomly across the farm. I didn't understand what he was doing, but he would take those cobs of maize or millet that he would cut the heads, and then they would be tied. He would open it up so that the cover now is tied together, and then he would hang it over the fireplace in the kitchen, you know. And they would be left there for the whole year until they become black, you know, from the smoke that comes from the cooking. At planting season, then you would remove that maize. They are shelled, and then we would go and plant them. So basically what he was doing is that go into the shamba, he was selecting the best type of maize. That's why he was going all over the place. He looks at this and picks that and picks that. He was picking the very best so that becomes seed maize, which then he goes and hangs over here because that was the way of preserving so that the weevils and so on do not eat it. And it's kept for the planting season. No one would eat that maize. No one would grind that maize for flour, because in any case, it becomes black. It becomes bitter because of the smoke. That is the concept of investment, because you are investing this or keeping this so that you can go and plant it the next time. If we ate everything, what would we plant?
Nothing.
And worse, maybe not worse, but alternatively, if we ate the good maize, it means you'll be planting the poor seed, because the seed should be the best type of maize so that you get the best type of crop when it finally yields. Yeah. So no matter how much trouble you have had and difficulties you have had, you have, when you get into the harvest season, pick the best portion before you start eating and store it away for seed. Otherwise, very soon, you will have no shamba and you'll have no seed.
Okay. It's a very good example. You've made me think of my grandmother.
Your grandmother. In
the village, yes, she used to do that.
They used to do that.
Yeah, and I never used to understand. That might exist. Okay.
That's why they had harvest from one season to another. Mm. But for us, these days, let me say, especially our young people.
Yes.
You know, where I am now, anybody who is below 50 is young. So that includes you.
Hi, Bishop. Unachoma. Maybe boy child, our producer here.
So, especially the young people.
Yes.
They want to enjoy their lives now. Now. Mm. So you get your salary, you want to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for the next salary. They don't actually wait for the next salary. They even enjoy the next salary by borrowing
in the apps on their phones.
The Fulizas and others.
Yes.
So by the time the next salary is coming, you actually at a negative, at a negative place. So
yes. There
are many, many young people today. Let me not say young people. There are many people today who look forward to the end of the month like a watchman waits for the dawn. Because they don't have anything in their account, usually by the 5th, 6th, 10th month. Like this week. By now, nothing is left. So they start borrowing.
Yeah.
They are now borrowing. You are borrowing. By the time the end of month actually comes, you are already in debt. And you are not borrowing to invest. You are borrowing to eat, to enjoy life, to go to restaurants, to order Glovo, you know? It's crazy life. There's no way you can progress that way.
No.
No way.
You have to keep the seed.
No way. By the time you're turning 50, 40, 60, like some of us, you have nothing. And the reality of your actions now begin to haunt you.
Yeah.
And I've seen, there are not too many in our age group, because our age group and above, those before us, were very committed to investments. Their first thing was to pick that maize.
And store it.
So that now in their old age, they have resources. When you don't save, you will steal. It's just certain.
Okay.
Both start with S, one is good.
The other is bad. Okay. Let's tackle a few more before we get to our topic of the day. Jackson writes and says, Bishop, some tape back I was following via the podcast, and thank you, Jackson, for listening to the Leadership Forum podcast, and says, when we're discussing followers around the cross, there is a group of followers you described as opportunists who are very good at packaging themselves strategically until they achieve what they want. Bishop was seemingly not happy with one, the example you gave, a guy who was working for you who displayed such behavior. Now, my question is, where do we draw the line between opportunists and someone working to achieve their pure ambitions and goals?
Every job provides us with opportunity. Okay? Opportunity for growth, opportunity for development, and so on. So that opportunity is your let me not say right. It's right for you to see what opportunities lie within your circles and how you can take advantage of those opportunities to develop yourself, to grow. Opportunists are people who are not committed to what is being done, but they are simply there for what they can get. So if you are working in an organization, but you are not committed to the mission and vision of that organization, but you are only looking at the opportunities that the organization can offer, then you become an opportunist. Another person could be working in the same organization, looking at the same opportunities, but making a contribution to the vision and mission of the organization. That person is not an opportunist. So it is the motive that makes one an opportunist. The other one is just an ambitious person who wants to develop themselves.
Mm.
Yes.
So it's the word you've used.
Motive.
The motive. That's what brings the difference.
Yes, that's what makes the difference. Because there are people who work for you.
Yes.
And they are committed to the work that you are doing.
Mm.
They want this thing to grow.
Yes.
They want this thing to develop. And they are doing their very best to make sure that this thing develops. But they also know, like God told Israel, that when the city prospers, I will also prosper. So I'm not just there to get for myself, but I'm there to make sure that this thing prospers.
Mm.
Because in the process, I will also prosper.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm. Motive. One last one. I think is when you're talking about spring, that you said leaders in this season, they enjoy titles. And if you mess them, it's trouble. So our listener writes and says, Bishop, kindly talk to church leaders. Honestly, church prophets, prophetesses, etc., and doctors, they are killing us slowly by slowly. Humility is no longer there. Do you know I decided to sit on my calling because of what I saw in church, and I no longer go to church?
The first part was okay. The second part is crazy.
Yeah. Explain to our listener.
Yes.
Mm.
I think we mentioned during that discussion, this craze and crave for titles and positions, and we really fight for them. So we talked about there are people who even take great offense if you don't address them by the right title, give them the right positions, and so on. Yeah, I think that's the context within which our listener may be asking. And we said, really, it's not your title that makes you. You are there before the title came. If you already have a position, why do you have to force people to recognize that position? Be humble enough. Jesus said when you go for a meeting, a function, sit at the back. Then people who know you and recognize you will come and say, hey, come and sit here at the front. But the reverse can also happen, where you have elevated yourself, you have gone and sat at a very elevated place, then somebody comes to whisper in your ear, now this one was reserved for someone greater than you on that occasion. So you have the humiliation of being taken back to where you belong.
Yeah.
It is very unfortunate. Mm. Now, for our listener to say that they have, number one, sat on their calling because of what they have observed, and number two, they have stopped going to church because of what they have observed, that is not an excuse. God calls us as individuals for a specific ministry, if I use that word, from a broader perspective. So my ministry does not depend on another person. My calling does not depend on another person. When the day of judgment comes, Jesus said, everyone will be called. And then it will be well done, good and faithful servant. You remember the guys who were given talents? One was given one, another one was given two, another was given five. When the one that was given one came, what was his reasoning? He said, I knew.
You harvest where you have not
planted. You have not planted. You are a mean guy. So for that reason, I did not plant. So the master said, okay, if you that's what you thought, why didn't you even put it in the bank? It could have earned interest without you working.
Yes.
Yeah. So here is another person who is saying, because I know these people are so bad, I'm going to sit on my talent. I'm going to put it, bury it in the ground like the guy of the one talent. I'm not even going to go to church. People are not your God. We go to church to worship God.
Yes.
Not to worship people. It is part of our responsibility as believers. And the writer to the Hebrews says, do not neglect the coming together of believers. So if that particular congregation where you have been going to, you are so discouraged by their conduct and behavior, find another place. But somebody else has said, there is no perfect church. If you find one, don't join it, because you yourself are not perfect. So you'll mess it up.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are all pilgrims in the making. We will make mistakes. We bear with one another. But we do at a personal level what we know is best to do. I live my life unto the Lord. Unto the Lord.
Yes.
So if other people are doing crazy things, that won't stop me from worshiping my God. That won't stop me from going to my to worship God in the congregation.
Okay. God is sovereign. It as unto God, not as unto man. Okay. Sawa. Thank you, Bishop, for that. And thank you, our listeners and viewers, for your questions. Remember, you can keep them coming on 0717-400-555. That's our WhatsApp line. We can get to your questions right there. So, Seasons of Leadership, we introduced the season of summer. Yes, and we said this is a season of strength, productivity, and fruitfulness. By the time we are saying bye-bye on that session, we said it's what stuck with me is it's a bittersweet kind of season, and I must know how to balance both so that it's not too sweet for me to enjoy so much and forget and eat the seed.
Exactly.
And also not to be too stingy that I cannot enjoy that season.
It is true. We said that this season of summer, using summer as an analogy in leadership. Again, I would just put that disclaimer that there may be several of our listeners who have really not experienced these seasons in the real sense of the word, because our country falls on the equator. So we do not experience the four seasons distinctly. But we get kind of an idea. Like now we can say we are getting into our winter. You know, June, July is normally our winter here in the tropics. So it's a bit cold. People wear big sweaters. Those who are from the highlands are very cold, you know.
And boucheries. And scarves.
Yes, and gloves in some places. Now, when you're in real those other extremes of the globe,
yes,
you experience those seasons very, very clearly. So, what the summer does then is that summer is extremely hot. But it's also the time that the brightest time of the year. Moods are high, you know. You find people very exuberant. They parks are open. People go and play out there, they picnicking and so on and so forth, because it's that time of freedom and enjoyment. And it's also associated with abundance, because many of the crops by this time, they are getting into towards harvest. The real harvest comes in the next season, but many of these crops, you begin to get the part of the harvest. So that harvest really makes for the fun and enjoyment and very joyful mood and spirit. In an organizational setting, we would compare this to a season of productivity. You have really been laying the foundation. You have worked hard to put systems and structures in place. You have put investment in place, both time and other resources, finances, people. And it's like a foundational period in spring where you've really worked hard, but you see very little returns. See very little returns in springtime. But when now summer comes, you begin to see the fruit of your labor. Organizations begin to see returns on their investments. You begin to harvest some of the efforts that you put in. And it can be a very exciting time. If you are in a field where you have customers are flowing in, you know. and sometimes it's just a question of too many people coming. Mm-hmm. You're getting overwhelmed by the numbers that you are getting. And it can be a very exciting season.
Yeah.
But we said this uniqueness of summer with maturity, growth, good harvest, good returns, profitability, all those things are a mark of a growing and maturing organization.
Mm.
Now, the reality of that is that this, for the leader, is a time to really demonstrate the effect of your leadership.
Yeah.
People can see the effect of your leadership.
Mm.
If you have done well, people can see that fruitfulness.
Mm.
They can see the outcomes. They can see the impact.
Mm.
Many people are telling you, we are very happy with what you are doing.
Mm.
We are seeing your efforts. Some of the people who are skeptical about your leadership are now turning around and telling you, you know, when you are starting this thing, I didn't know where it was going.
Why does that sound familiar? From other circles.
You're talking for a friend. But now we can see what you actually meant.
It's making sense.
It's making sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good feeling when people tell you things like that, because you struggled with them during planting season.
Yes.
And people are like, no, this can't work. You know, he tried this before and so on and so forth. And somehow you insisted and planted and watered, and now it is harvest time, and people are seeing the fruit of your labor.
Mm.
So that recognition, that momentum,
that
harvest is a very good feeling for any leader. And you can measure.
Yes.
You know, when you go to the AGM, you can tell them this year. This was our return.
Yes.
And you can give explanations as to what you are able to do and how comes you have this profitability and so on.
Yes.
Very nice. If you are in church, you can tell us, you know, how many souls came to the Lord this year. You know, you can tell us how many retreats and camps you took the young people to and so on, and how our offerings grew, the missions, the churches we planted. All that is a very, very exciting season.
Yes.
The leadership characteristics of that time is high responsibility. In the midst of that excitement, what is required is responsibility, because you are managing, if it's a good harvest.
Yes.
And the picture that comes to mind is of Peter. Peter and his team, Jesus has died, and they decide, hey, let's go back to what we know. So they go back to fishing, which they knew.
Yes.
And they labor and toil throughout the night. And Jesus then comes and says, hey, cast your net on the other side. So the Bible says that the fish they caught was so much that their nets began to break. Your harvest at summertime can sometimes be so much that if you are not careful, the nets can break. We have very many organizations who have that have collapsed, haven't actually died as a result of a bumper harvest, or as our friends from other corners will say, pumper harvest. You know? The harvest was so big that it sunk the ship.
Yeah.
And you have heard people, analysts say, the organization expanded beyond its capacity.
Yes.
Yeah. They were overstretched, or they overstretched themselves. And so when now the harvest is there, it is too much for the structures and systems that are in place, that it just sunk the organization. So the necessity of strategic review at this time is very important. Strategic decision making. Do we need to expand further? Do we need to control? Do we need to manage? All those are things that a leader at this stage must take care of.
Yes.
Organizations can become so complex in this summer season because you see, the springtime is like scattering seed.
Yes.
The Bible says, go out, scatter seed. You don't know which one will, will sprout and will. Yes. So you just keep scattering. And many times especially for startups and young leaders, you keep scattering, trying this, trying that, trying the other one. Then suddenly,
everything comes up. At once.
And then you are like, this thing is too complex.
Yeah.
So that complexity can actually sink the organization. So you need to look at... have we become too complex as an organization? What do we do, therefore, to streamline and manage this situation as it is? The people also, your customers, your clients who have come in because of what they have seen you do, they have very high expectations on your service delivery. The consequence of that is you can get into burnout. As a leader, because too many people calling upon you, too many demands upon your time, too much decision making that is required, you can hardly sleep, you can hardly cope with all that is demanded of you, all out of success.
It's a good thing, but again, on this other end.
Yes,
yeah.
On the other end now is sinking you. It can sink you, and leaders have got into burnout. Leaders have got into heart problems. You know, people fighting, infighting comes at that time because everybody is trying to do their best. They are not coping, and they are thinking that is the other person who is not doing what they are supposed to do. That's why I'm not able to deliver the way I'm supposed to deliver. And this, all these calls and demands and customers who are calling to ask, where are my products? You said you'll deliver. You have not delivered. It can be crazy in the summer.
Wow. Let's reflect on that, Bishop.
Yes.
It's a great day in studio today. We are talking about seasons of leadership, and we're on the season of summer, Bishop. Before we went on a break, we're just pointing out critical things that happen in this season, where you say it's a season for strategic review. Organization just becomes complex, and if you're not careful, you could fall into burnout because the demands are too much. And we stopped at the could be infightings that are happening. So we pick it up from there.
Yeah. And you asked why should there be infighting? Infighting, yeah. One would imagine that when things are doing so well, the organization is doing so well, everybody would be happy.
Very happy.
Very happy.
Celebrating
so
every
why
day.
Are they fighting?
Yes.
The fight is because everybody has these serious demands on their from their section, department, mandate, and everybody wants to see things happen. And their success, in order for them to deliver, in order for you to deliver, there are things I need to do. So you are waiting on me to do them,
yes,
so that you can also deliver. So you call me and say, David, you know, I need this and this. I say, please give me a moment. I'm working on it.
Yes.
Meanwhile, other people are also calling on me to do to deliver.
Yes.
And so I have all these balls flying in the air that I need to balance. So the more pressure gets on you, the more pressure you bring on me, and the more pressure I'm bringing on other people. So very soon you get frustrated because you are not able to deliver. Because I've not delivered.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we fight.
Mm.
But I tell you, you are not the only one I'm attending to.
You are number six in my list.
I have other people that I'm also attending to.
Yes.
And I get very frustrated, and you get very frustrated. And so we fight. So that's where the infighting comes in.
Yes.
So this good thing that has happened to us is now creating negative impact on the organization.
Yeah.
And if it is not well handled and well managed, then you may find that that infighting has the consequence of spilling outside to your customers and your clients. Because the frustrated customers may leave you.
True.
Because you're not the only one.
True.
I ordered this thing long time ago. I've not got any response. I called someone, they shouted at me on the phone. You know, those kinds of things.
Yes.
So if it is not managed properly,
yes,
that very thing that was a very positive thing at harvest time could be ruined.
Yes.
Bringing it into the farming, for example, you have got such a bumper harvest. You do not have the necessary equipment, the necessary personnel, and therefore the rains could find your harvest still on the field.
Oh my. Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And it all rots because you didn't have the necessary. There's a gentleman in the Bible, we are told, who went through that kind of an experience. So he found himself with a great harvest. He didn't have storage. So he said, now what do I do? He said, now I'm going to tear down everything. That means you destroy everything, pour out the water has been stored there, and now build new ones to store what is there. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm destroying everything and just build new barns, keep my harvest, then go and rest. I guess he was also in burnout. So he just said, rest. And so my soul, now my soul, rest. Unfortunately, God called him home to go and rest better, in a better place.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing can happen to us in an organization. It can happen to us at individuals, leaders within our own sectors.
Yes.
That which was supposed to be a blessing turns out now to be a curse to us. So what kind of leadership is required? What should you do as a leader in this season? What should be your focus?
Yes.
Summer provides us with opportunity for systematic expansion, reviewing of our strategies. So this is the time to review our systems. Are our systems serving us?
Yes.
And work on those systems so that you have in place systems that will deliver according to the demand of this season. Because if you don't do that, then that clogging will happen and frustrations will come. This is the time to develop teams. If you have been working single individuals, this is the time now to group people in teams because of the complexity that now has come. We cannot still afford to have just one person, one person, one person. You need what we call cross-functional teams.
Yes.
Where different people from different departments that are related come together. You know, the way I was giving the example, you are calling on me because there are things I need to do in order to facilitate you to do what you need to do. There are things that somebody else needs to do that will facilitate me to do what I need to do.
Yes.
Now, those people need to sit together in a team.
Yes.
So that now we strategize together. These are the demands of that you need in order for you to do your work. These are what I need to do my work. This is what the other person needs to do. So how do we go about this? So we all brainstorm together and come up with a strategic way of how to resolve that. Yes. So then the fights are reduced because there's a common understanding of how things should be done, what happens, what comes first, what follows, the sequencing, and so on. So teams become very useful at this time. Delegation is very important for the leader. These many things that you have been dealing with, it is time for you now to look at them and say, this I will give to so-and-so, this I'll give to so-and-so, or create different units, departments, whatever you call them, give them heads, and now let them run with it. That's what Jethro told Moses. So that otherwise you die.
Yes, true, very true.
You know, in this time. The other thing is scaling up. You know, everybody is coming to this place. Is it time to consider branching out? Open new branches or open new departments or, you know, all those things. So really the strategy is how to restructure yourselves in order to cope with this beautiful growth that has come upon you.
Yes.
The need to look at the staff is very important.
Say more about that. What do you mean? Are already there.
The staff are already there. You need to look at their welfare. Because you see, they were operating at a certain level. Now there's this new reality that has come upon us, which is going to bring emotional, physical, financial, and other strains upon them. If they are going to deliver optimally, all those factors need to be taken into account because these are the same person. Do you need more personnel? And those you have, do they need to be upskilled, you know, so that they have develop new capacities to cope with the new realities?
Okay.
Do they need help emotionally? Because you remember, people are fighting, customers are calling. So there are emotions that are being, you know, strained.
Yes.
How do you deal, help the staff to deal with those emotions? You can't just assume.
I'm just imagining a leader would say, I'm running a big organization of 1,000 people. I don't have time for emotions. And maybe that will be the same feeling for in companies. We have the HR department, you know. So it's a team of 1,000. On the emotional bit specific, because emotional, once emotional is okay, in my view, everything else will be fine.
If you don't take care of the emotions, number one, there's those fights we talked about. Because when people are stressed up, they tend to be easily irritable.
Yes.
So they will respond to even a very small thing in a very bad way.
Mm.
It gives you, you know, a customer comes in to a stressed staff member. They just say a wrong word and the staff has blown on them.
Yeah.
And it is the reputation of the organization that is at risk.
True.
All because your staff was stressed up. They did not mean, you have known them to be good people.
Mm.
Grace has always been very gracious.
Imagine.
But now you're getting word that she shouted at everybody in her department.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, what has happened to Grace?
Mm.
You know, she's stressed up.
Mm.
So that those emotions need to be dealt with so that Grace remains gracious.
Mm.
She deals with the people,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
So you can't afford to ignore the emotional aspect of your staff,
mm.
whether you have a million or there are three.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
So put in place, if you have an HR department, many times they are also stressed up. So,
yeah,
so get into a system, get the HR to put in place a system to deal with the emotions of our staff.
Mm.
Do you need some time to just go out and reflect and retreat and
yes.
so on?
Mm.
How do we structure our leave days so that people are not working 365 days in a year? So those kinds of things will help the emotions to
calm down,
cool down. That you can continue to deliver.
That sounds nice. You know, I went to visit, I'm digressing a bit, a certain organization, and the person we are seeing is a HR manager. So when we met them and they introduced themselves, they say, "Hi, how are you doing? My name is so-and-so. I'm director of happiness in this organization." Now, with the example you're saying, it's now making sense.
Yes.
Their work is to ensure everybody is happy. In the and for sure, the organization is really doing well.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know you've been in that organization. I'll talk to you off camera. you help bring happiness there.
Well, if we did.
Yeah.
So that is an organization that has recognized that a happy workforce delivers.
True.
A happy workforce delivers. Some people think that if you shout at people and make noise at them and they are running here and there, then you get productivity. No.
Mm-mm.
Happy people deliver. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you have discovered that and you even create a department of happiness, someone to just make people happy, go around, say, "Grace, wow, you are looking good." Yeah. And you are made happy, and put in other systems and structures that keep people out of stress.
Yes.
That's a very visionary leader.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the dangers that leaders face in summer at a personal level?
Mm.
One is ego. Mm. Ego. You know, ego is that which makes us feel we are someone.
Yes.
Yes. So it's part of what drives us to do things well.
Mm.
So it's very positive. But when ego is inflated, it can be destructive. So when summer comes and things that did not seem to be working are now working, and people are telling you we are very happy, and people are telling you this is so good, and so on and so forth, you can begin to feel like you're somebody, which indeed you are.
Yes.
But the consequence of that is that if you are not careful, you can begin to think that, no, you are not just somebody.
Mm.
You are the only person.
Because
that's where ego can get us.
Yes.
Where you now are, you feel you are the person.
Mm.
You are the only one.
Mm.
And you hear it in the voice of Elijah,
mm-hmm.
where he says, you know, I'm the only one. now they want to kill me.
Mm.
Why? Because he has confronted this. He has had very good success,
yes,
in his ministry. Mm. And he was feeling like everybody should be acknowledging the great work he has done. Yes. Instead of this acknowledgement, Jezebel comes and say, So he feels, I would rather just die.
Mm.
So ego can get us where we have been very successful, and we really think that it all depends on us. I'm the alpha and the omega in this organization. You begin to look down on other people. You begin to look down on other organizations.
Mm.
You know, you're wondering, why are you people not succeeding? how comes you don't know? When you don't know what to do, and so on.
Yes.
So that is something that comes on us as human beings, and many times it is very subtle. Pride does not tell you are being proud.
No.
You're just being yourself.
Yeah. You're just appreciating me. Just,
yes. Mm. So you need to be conscious
that
you could get into that place of pride.
Mm.
And it is said, and the saying is true, that pride comes before a fall.
Yeah.
Because when you become proud and when ego takes over, ego has a tendency of blinding us to reality. Because you get to that place where you think you have found the secret of success. Yes. So if you have found the secret of success, you don't need to learn anything new. You don't need to learn from any other person. You don't need to go for any seminars. You don't need to listen to any advice, because the data speaks for itself.
Numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie. So anybody who is coming to tell you, maybe you could consider, maybe have you thought about it? Say, no, that doesn't work in our system. That does not apply here. So ego, pride, can be a big problem in summer.
But I'm thinking, Bishop, this leader has just come from spring,
where
spring they've really, God has helped them jump many hurdles,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Titles and all that. And now they're here, they're enjoying success. That in my small thinking, that shouldn't be an issue for them.
All we are saying here, you see, like we said about motive of the one who was opportunist.
Yes.
It is still the same thing.
Mm.
It is now not motive. It is now attitude. It is now attitude. Because of your success, you develop an attitude that shuts down or shuts up everybody. So you become the center of everything. You know? That's the problem. We are not saying you should not enjoy, we should not acknowledge that you are successful. We can't deny you.
Yes.
It is your right. You know? you have earned it.
Yes.
Celebrate it. In fact, in self-leadership, one of the things we teach in self-leadership is celebration of success.
Yes.
It's part of self-leadership.
Mm.
So celebrate it. Go out there and give yourself a good holiday. Take your team out if you want to celebrate as a team. So celebrate the good that the Lord has done.
Yes.
If you are a Christian, you know, in your life. Now, the attitude of a leader, we say a leader must always maintain an attitude of learning.
Yes.
So an attitude of learning says, yes, we have been successful, but we are not there yet.
Yes.
There's still more land to be conquered. That land can only be conquered if you have an attitude of staying in the battle.
Yes.
But if you go and pack your tools and your equipment and go and rest, the enemy could ambush you at a time that you know not.
Okay.
So it is more of an attitude, not actually what you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
loss of self-awareness is another thing where leaders in the success stage, it's very related to what I've just said.
Mm.
You begin to think or to imagine that all this success is because of me.
Not even your team?
Yeah. Your team just helped.
The me, myself, and I syndrome.
I'm the one who really made this thing happen. If it were not for me, especially if the previous leader was not successful,
yes,
then I can now show them
this
is how leadership is done. You know? So that you can get to that place where you are not self-aware of your strengths, your weaknesses, and all those things. You must consistently and constantly recognize that there are areas, in spite of our success, there are things that other people have contributed and acknowledge that.
Yes.
There are areas that are of my weakness, and therefore I need other people to help us to maintain the growth.
Yes.
That is something that one must constantly be clear. Otherwise, you get to that place where you don't need anybody. You are the center of everything. Leaders in this season can become dictatorial because of the two things we have said.
Yes.
Because I am successful, I have gone through very difficult time to get where we are.
Yes.
We have climbed mountains, we have gone through valleys. You don't know where we are coming from. you don't know what we have gone through.
Yes, the price we paid.
Yeah. So you can get to that place where you don't want to listen to anyone. So my word is law. So I become dictatorial because I am the one who knows. So when you come to my office to seek for advice, and I'm telling you, you need to do it this way, or do that way, and you're saying, but sir, I'm thinking, hey, I don't want to hear that. This is what I've said, you go and do it. You know?
That sounds so bad.
It's supposed to sound bad. But it happens.
I ask the Lord to release me to the wider ministry. Such a leader.
You see, now exactly what you are saying is the danger that now the leader faces.
Yeah.
Because very soon you hear your senior manager is resigning. And you're thinking, resigning when we are at the peak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're resigning when you are at the peak because now you're not listening. You're not listening to what they are saying. You're not listening to the ground.
And the ground has it.
You know? So you, when you become that dictatorial, then your members, your team members, you are surprised. Grace has just said it. I go to the wider ministry.
Oh, yeah. Lord, please.
So people looking from us are saying, Grace, why are you leaving the that job at a time when from us from outside, we are seeing you people are doing very well.
And you're at your peak also. As yeah, well, as,
yes. So I know that it's a very toxic environment.
Oh, my God.
It's a very toxic environment. So we who from outside, we are thinking this organization is doing very well. We can see results. We can see, you know, and we are just commending you people while people are resigning.
Yeah.
Why? Because the leader has become blind. And now he's just giving orders and instructions and not listening to anyone because they feel they are the god of the organization.
Oh.
Yeah, this all happened because of my wisdom. This happened because of my strategies. This becomes because of my skills. If I were not so brilliant, these things would not have happened. Sometimes they say it, sometimes they don't say it. They just act in a manner to tell you.
Read the signs.
Where do you think you'd have been if it was not me? You know?
Yeah.
If I were not here. And I've brought all these changes that you have seen.
Mm.
So those that is a very high probability and a risk in this season of summer.
Yes.
And power intoxication. People get intoxicated with power. This is when people won't even change their terms. You know, when the organization perhaps has a rule that the leader can only serve for 3 years, renewable ones. But summer has just come in the
in the
last 2 years of your time, you know, or last 1 year.
Yes.
You have been struggling all the other 4 years. Mm. So now suddenly this thing is working and your time is coming to an end.
You go and check what does the bylaw say.
Yes. So this is the time when you now begin to ask for extension. I need to finish the work that I started. This thing is just growing and, you know, it's not a good time to have transition. Yeah. Power can get you in this place.
But on that point of power, Bishop, it's because of the leader is self-seeking, not that they really want the organization to grow, isn't it?
Usually,
are they genuine?
You see, the problem with the summer season, the line between the organization and the leader becomes very thin. Yeah. Because it's my efforts that have made the organization to be successful.
Yeah.
So if I leave, this thing could collapse.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm on me, myself, and I, and I've made it so clear it's me holding this thing.
Yes. So if I leave, where would this thing go? I'm the one who brought these changes. I'm the one who has been working so hard for the last 5 years. You know where we have come from, the struggles we have gone through, and so on. And now the thing is just
picking
up. And you can see the success. The numbers speak for themselves.
Mm.
So why are you asking me to leave at this time? Unless you want the thing to collapse again. Yeah. So that's where it comes in.
Yeah.
So the line between the organization and the individual usually becomes very blurred.
Yeah.
And you see it in the political arena. You see it in nations where leaders don't want to leave. And what do they say? I need to finish the work I started. You know?
Like
we see
in
it
the
in organization. I need to finish this.
Yes.
This is not a good time to transition.
Yeah.
Things are really at their peak.
Mm.
So that feeling that I am the answer is very common. And it's because now the line between the organization and the individual have become blurred. Yes.
This way I've heard you say it's very important for leaders, please, it's okay to live at the peak.
Yes.
I've heard you say that so many times. And
it's a very good time to live. People will remember you forever.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't wait until when we are praying you out.
At 96.
At 96.
I'm
not saying that you abandon things, but if the system requires you to live, it is a very good time to live when things are at their peak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you need when we come to the fall, or the autumn, as some others call it, we will talk about that.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask. So it's a nice time for me to leave.
Yeah,
I'm leaving the organization. It's at its peak.
Yeah,
and I don't want just to throw it like a hot potato. So what should I do to ensure the transition is smooth, and deal with that internal fear that might still be a small, oh my. I pray for the person coming not to drop
the ball.
Yeah, but to maintain and even go higher.
We will talk about that when we come to the season of the fall.
Okay.
The season of the fall, the season of the autumn, as the Europeans call it, fall, as the Americans call it.
Okay.
Because that's when things begin to fall.
So.
But it is a season of transition. So how does a leader manage that season of transition, which is the fall?
Okay.
Yes. But in the summer, you begin to think about it.
Mm.
Now, I want to distinguish two things.
Yes.
One, the one I've talked about is where the system and the structure of the organization requires the leader to leave.
Like I've been given a six-year term.
Yeah, so a six-year term.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, for the last 5 years,
yes,
we have been laboring in spring.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
So now summer has just come in my final year.
Year six.
My sixth year.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling I need to continue. Mm. I need to take this to the next level.
Yes.
And that's where now, even though my term is coming to an end, I'm insisting that I stay around. Could we change the constitution?
Mm.
Could we change the bylaws so that you give me another 5 years or another 1 year or another whatever?
Yes.
That's the one we are talking about.
Okay.
But if the system is such that you are not required to leave, we are not saying that when summer comes, you leave.
Mm-mm.
No. When summer time comes, this is the time for you to put your energy to make sure that there's a bumper harvest.
Yes.
Yeah. So just to distinguish that,
the
one we are talking about is where the laws, the regulations, the system, the structures require me to leave.
Yes.
But we have just entered summer.
Mm.
Now, it's a, like I said, I think there's a time we talked about transition.
Mm.
It's a very painful experience for you to leave things at summer when you have been laboring all winter and spring.
Yes.
It's very difficult. Humanly speaking, we see it with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
Where he just like,
Father, could you take away?
Paul talks about it.
Yeah.
I desire to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I want to leave.
Mm.
And so on and so forth. So these are realities, human realities.
Mm.
So we are not saying it will be easy
for
you to leave because your time has come to an end.
Mm.
But it is the reality. So that reality should not come upon us suddenly.
Yes.
If I have a six-year term, from day one, I begin to prepare for my exit.
Mm.
So that whatever happens,
yes,
whether that exit comes in summertime or in wintertime or in springtime,
you're okay.
I'm okay. I leave. But I've prepared on how the organization can move forward.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. The distinction is so clear.
Thank you. So the Nelson Mandela is a good example of a leader who left in summer.
Mm.
Everybody was like, you've been in prison 27 years. You deserve this. You deserve to do a second term. But he realized, no. All factors considered, it is not in the best interest of the country for me to continue. He looked at his own personal health, his age, the circumstances under which the nation was, and he made the decision not to die in office. No.
Yes.
And he stepped down.
Yes.
At that time, that's wisdom.
Mm.
Why is he so remembered? I almost imagine that if Nelson Mandela had decided to continue, he may have messed himself up.
True.
You know, like many African leaders have done.
Mm.
And today, we would not be talking about the Nelson Mandela the way we talk about him.
Mm.
He was a great man, but his final years.
he undid what he did, no? Yeah.
But he left during summer.
Yeah.
He left during summer, and we remember him across the globe.
True. And he volunteered.
He left voluntarily.
Was not forced out.
Yeah, he voluntarily left
in
the summer. And everybody uses him as he's an icon of leadership across the globe.
Mm.
Very few, if I can think of, African leaders are at that level where they are recognized globally as great leaders.
Mm.
But part of it is that he recognized that I've done my 5 years term. The Constitution allows me to do another term, but in the best interest of the organization, it's time to leave.
Mm.
So he left at summer.
Yeah.
And he left a great nation and a great legacy.
Mm.
Yes.
If he was in Kenya, he would have said one term.
He didn't need anybody to say one term. He chose himself.
And he was happy with the progress. He
yes.
lifted the country to be at a better place.
Yes.
Mm.
And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of transitioning in summertime.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, fruit must not outgrow character in summer.
Explain that a bit.
In summertime, we are talking about harvest. We are talking about fruit.
Yes.
We are talking about success. We are talking about, you know, all those good profitability.
Yes.
The what do you call it? Reputation.
Mm.
Brand equity.
Mm.
All these have grown in that time.
Yes.
That must not blind us to doing the right thing and being the right person. So the fruit of our labor must not overshadow our personal character in terms of who we are.
Mm.
So allow the success to be success. But at the same time, remain yourself.
Mm.
Remain a man or woman of integrity. Remain a man or woman of principle.
Mm.
Remain a man or woman that is humble.
Mm.
So that success doesn't mess you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the greatest principle for summer.
Mm.
Because summer leadership often destroys leaders who have succeeded extremely.
Mm.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Could this be also a season where you find a leader is caught up in very funny scandals?
Yes, it is part of it. You remember, that happens for two reasons.
Yes.
That comes up in my mind.
Mm.
And they are opposite.
Mm.
One, we talked about stress.
Yes.
In summer.
Yes.
People are stressed up and so on. So sometimes people find comfort in the wrong things. You know?
Mm.
Some find comfort in getting too much money, so they begin to steal from the organization. Some find comfort in drinking and funny things. Some find comfort in men or women. In sexual relationships, all this to deal with that pressure that is coming upon you. So that can lead people into scandalous activities.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, these scandals could also come from ego, the pride of life. You want to show everybody that I'm not just successful in the organization, come and see my house that I've just put up. Come and see my business that I have set on the side and all those kinds of things. So that success also puts on you pressure to try and show that I'm not just successful in the organization, I'm also successful in my private activities. And so I have just got two new wives.
Oh, my Father in heaven, Shindwe.
But how will you know? You know, because at that time, if you're a man, the women that flock around you, you need to be sober in mind for you not to end up with Delilah. Mm. So it's that pride that can get you into scandalous relationships, activities, etc.
Mm.
and it could come during summer. Yeah.
That's why you've emphasized that fruit must not outgrow your character.
Yes.
In summer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel we should pray here.
Especially that one of two wives, I've really caught you. I think for the ladies also go for sugar daddies. They also go for other men.
Maybe that could explain why we have very great people, great leaders running great organizations, be it at a personal level, hired. Marriage is broken.
Yes, I didn't mention that one of the things that happened in this time is the danger of neglect of family. You get so busy, and your wife and children should understand.
Now atafutia pesa for a better life.
You know what we are going through. The organization is doing so. We have this meeting and that retreat. I think I'm talking to myself.
We should turn this into a coaching, counseling session.
So we have this trip and have that meeting and have that, consultants who are coming. And time for family becomes very difficult. Yeah. Mm. So family then disintegrates. Yeah. We need to pray. For ourselves. Not for myself.
And for myself too. Okay, but there is hope, Bishop, isn't it? Just being aware that these things happen.
That's why we are talking. The reason we are discussing these things is that somebody somewhere may just learn something and pick it and do the right thing so that we don't end up with these difficulties that we have talked about. Summer is a good time. This is the best time for the organization.
Yes.
But if not well managed, it sinks you.
A quick thought before we pray. How would summer look like in terms of, because you say leadership is not only in organization, also in the home.
Yes.
How would that look like? Husband, wife, children.
Husband, wife, children. Summer is a time you have labored, you have struggled as young couples. You got your children, you struggle, fees is difficult to get, and so on and so forth. Then you're getting promotions, both of you, in your places of work. The husband is now in a good job, in a good position. Money is not an issue. The wife on the other side is also a good job, good promotions. Money is not an issue. So your total income, when you sit down to budget, there's a surplus.
Green.
It's green. Yes. So now you can go on holidays as family. Children can go to good schools, where you can pay for them. Group of schools.
Yes.
So really things are
working.
That is summer season for families.
Mm.
And the same things we have talked about can happen within the family and do happen within the family.
Mm.
So your children are going to very good schools. You can go out for holidays. But when you're away in your holidays, you don't enjoy. Mm. You're fighting with each other.
You're making business calls.
Let me talk about what we said about the organization. Yes. Remember, one of the things we said is that within the organization, infighting.
Yes.
So you're fighting with one another. Because I asked you to do this.
You did not do it.
You know, that electrical thing in our house has been there for 6 months, and I asked you to call a fundi, you never called.
Yes.
As you see, you know how I have been busy.
Mm.
I will call one of these days. But you see, that thing is very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
It could burn down the house. And you flare up in your holiday in Dubai. you come back, you want separate seats in the plane.
And the children wonder.
And for us, we are seeing you arriving and they are saying, wow.
Lord, remember so well.
They just flew in from
Dubai.
We don't know that you are so miserable from that trip.
Yes.
Yeah. So the summer issues that we discussed for the organization can actually happen even within the family.
Mm.
Yeah. So you do you need again to sit down and put in systems and structures.
Yes. And see how to be strategic,
strategic
in
within
scaling
the
your
organization.
Family. Okay.
Yeah, within the family yes. organization. Yeah, it is. The family is actually a prototype
yes.
of organization.
Okay.
Yes, the same principles, the same things happen there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity this day to discuss these matters to do with leadership, particularly in managing success, because
yes,
that's what summer is all about. How do we handle success? How do we manage success in our own lives, in the organizations, in our families, and so on? I pray that you give us wisdom in this season so that we can do the right thing. Our management of success really depends on looking up to you even in the time of success. Moses told the people, when you get into the land and your land produces harvest and great harvest, do not forget the Lord your God, to know that he is the one who gives you the power to beget wealth. So you don't say, my strength, my wisdom got me this. Help us to constantly remember that the earth is the Lord and all that is in it and everyone in it. And the success that we enjoy in our organizations, in our families, are really as a result of your favor upon us. So if there's any of us, O Lord, who is in that season and we are about to forget, draw us back to yourself so that we can live in this reality. If there are people who are struggling in that season of success, I pray, Jehovah God, that you will help them out of that so that they can arise and do the right thing. This is our prayer, which we bring before you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
Asante.
Barikiwa sana.
Asante sana.
Mm. I believe when we meet, we'll be talking about the next season.
We will be in the fall.
Fall. Okay.
Yes.
Sawa sawa, baraka. That's all we had for you on the Leadership Forum this beautiful day. I think my take home is this. Fruit must not outgrow your character during the summer season, starting from home all the way to the great organizations that you are leading. Remember to catch a repeat of this program on Hope FM on Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., anytime at the Hope FM podcast and our social media platforms. My name is Grace Mutiso.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.